great to be along with you this morning. It was very nice to be asked. The Reverend Stuart, or sorry, Andrew Stuart, we're not just there yet, got me at the door the other week and he said, "Brother, we're thinking of letting some of the young men take the Bible class." So I took that as a big compliment. That's something I don't hear very much. And then I thought to myself, 8 more years and I could be his daddy. So but we're delighted to be along with you this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me please to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll just break into the chapter at verse 31 and take our reading from there. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, even more give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Amen. And with the word of God open before us, let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving eternal Father in heaven, O God, we come before thee afresh this day, praying, O God, for that fresh receiving of the Spirit of God. Praying, O God, as the Israeli people went out to gather the manna fresh in the morning, Lord, we come to thee afresh, that we might be nourished in our faith. Lord, we pray for thy word this morning, that it might go forth. Though spoken in weakness, O God, thou would take that which concerneth thee and bless it to the hearts of thy people. We pray for those who will listen in on sermon audio on the broadcast. Lord, may thy word come with blessing. O God, may they be enriched in their souls as they listen to thy word. O Father, may it be glorified before our eyes. So, O God, we cast ourselves at thy feet. Lord, empty that thou wouldest fill us. Praying, O God, that thy Spirit would descend like a dove. Bless thy word to each and every one of our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Getting to know Christ is a key lesson for the Christian. Getting to know Christ is key for the life of the sinner. As we look at the Word of God this morning, this breaks down into one of the familiar passages of Scripture because it comes under one of the I Ams of Christ. There are 7 of them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So as we come to focus our thoughts this morning, I want us to think, what can we get to know about Christ from this portion of the Word of God? The person of Christ is revealed to us. In a discourse with his disciples, the Lord asks his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Peter then makes that great confession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what did Christ say that he was? What did Christ say about himself? It's often said, if you want to get to know a man, ask his wife. I think also if you want to get to know a man, be near him when he stubs his toe off a door corner, as I did yesterday. There's much can be revealed. The closer you are to someone, the more you get to know about them. The more you talk with them in conversation, the more you learn. And so as we come to the Word this morning, we have Christ here revealing himself for us. That's why we have recorded in the scriptures the I Ams of Christ. It is Christ himself telling us who he is and what he does, what he reveals about himself. And so to understand what is going on in the Word of God here, we have to think of the context that Christ is speaking in. What has gone on before? What is happening around him? Well, there has been a great multitude stirred up around him. Why? Because he had performed a miracle. He had fed the 5,000. And so we reference bread. Bread is very significant in the scriptures. It's very significant in this portion of scripture. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. But what did he mean to that? What did his hearer hear? What did the Jewish mind think at the time when the Lord was speaking here? Yes, by way of context, we've had the feeding of the 5,000. So there is that sustenance that the Lord provides. The Lord fed the people. And does the Lord not still today feed his people? Are we not each one provided for in the providence of God? Have we not shoes to wear and clothes to put on our backs because God has provided that for us even yet today? And so the Lord here, speaking to the Jews around him, tells them again of Moses. And in the Jewish mind, Moses is up here. Even more so, perhaps, they look to Moses more so than the coming Messiah. And the Lord says to him, it was not Moses that fed you, but my Father. It was me, I was there, the great Jehovah, fed you in the wilderness with that bread that you did eat every morning. But the Lord here presents to them a bread that will sustain them for all eternity, for he presents to them himself. And so, yes, there was great excitement around them after the miracle had been done, after the bread had been provided. And yes, the Lord reminds them, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of this world. The Lord here declares his own origin. I came down from heaven. He announces here to the world his divinity. After this, the Jews began to complain and murmur amongst themselves. They were raising questions in their mind. Is this not Jesus of Nazareth? Is this not a man, one that we know? But yet the Lord proclaims himself here to be the Messiah. I am. And of course, when we think of that, we link back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, when Moses came before the Lord and is told, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The great I am of the Bible. And of course, to claim parity with this was to claim to be God. And this was in the Jewish mind, that here the Lord Jesus Christ was now setting himself up to be the Son of God, and that is to be equal with God. And we're told then later on in chapter 10 of John, when the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than them all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. And at this, the Jews took up stones and sought to stone him. And when Jesus questioned them on it, why they would do this, what was their answer? For which of those works do you stone me, the Lord asks. And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You see, when the Lord revealed to them his deity, when the Lord revealed to them that he was the Son of God, their minds refused to accept it. And such a contradiction we have before us, the Son of God about to be stoned for blasphemy. It's hard to fathom how low the human mind, how darkened the human mind can be to the light of Scripture, when the Lord Himself presents them with truth, and yet they sit in darkness. Yes, I am the bread of life. Those who partake of the heavenly bread, those who partake of the bread of life, have life everlasting. And in summary of this I am, Jesus is saying, I am come from heaven. I am sent from the Father. I am come to nurture and to feed you, to give you that life which is eternal. When we want to get to know Christ, we need to know Him first as Savior and Redeemer. There are many today who profess to know Christ because of a religion, because of they seek to live in a good way. But no, when we come to know Christ, we must know Him as the Savior of the sinner. And so today, if you're listening, perhaps on sermon audio, and you do not know the Savior, well, today we would urge you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat of the living bread. The Lord, further developing His studies of who He was, turn with me please to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and the verse 12. The Lord says, then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It is after this that the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery before the Lord. It is after this, in terms of context, that the Lord gave sight to him that is blind. And again, the Lord is presenting to us here His divinity, His deity. And we see it no more clearly when the Lord is speaking of light. We go to John 1. The Bible records for us there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without anything was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The Lord is the light of the world. And Christian, there are many times when we come to crossroads in our lives and we don't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. And there can be a darkness in the Christian life. But look to the light. Look to the light of God's Word. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There are times when the Christian can be in darkness as to what to do. But we have the light of Christ in our souls to guide us. When we look to Him, He will say, This is the way. Walk ye in it. Jesus declared that He was the light of the world. He wanted His followers to know that they didn't have to live in darkness. They didn't have to live in hopelessness. We don't live in bondage to sin this morning because the light of life has shined abroad in our hearts. If they would follow Him, then He would bring His light of life into their lives, transforming them and restoring them with His power. And the context of this portion of Scripture, when the Lord was speaking here about light, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Israelis were remembering back when the Lord had brought them deliverance by the cloudy pillar, by the fire by night and the cloud of pillar by day. From the cloud God spoke. The presence of God overshadowed them and went with them in their wanderings through the wilderness. The pillar of cloud and the fire was evidence of Jehovah's presence with His people. And the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims again in the ears of those around Him that He was the light of the world. Referencing again that Old Testament time where they could relate to the light that shone in the darkness and guided them through the wilderness. And the Lord says, I am here to light the way. I am here to lead in the right path. So when we encounter the light of the world, you experience the deep and penetrating power of his light that reveals sin. And it is strange when the light convicted these Pharisees, they sought rather to pick up stones and to kill him, rather than to receive the light of God into their lives. And we, of a fallen nature, we of those who have blackened our hearts with sin again and again, are naturally drawn away from Christ, naturally drawn to the flesh, to sin, to darkness. But yet the light shines as everlasting mercy and grace from the throne of God, accessible to us because of the work of Calvary. Thank God today that the temple vein was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And today we have access. Today we have light in our lives. Today we feed on the bread, on the manna from heaven itself, because of the work that Christ has done for us. When we appropriate Jesus as the light of the world, he gives us life. He gives us the light of life that disappears. Eternal life that dissipates, eternal life to all who will believe. The person who lives in him and partakes of his life becomes light, walking in light in a dark world. And when we think of the contrast between light and darkness, there is another miracle in John 9 where the blind man is given sight. He who was in darkness from the very beginning, he who had never gazed upon anything in this world, is brought to Christ in total darkness, in blindness, presented to Christ. We're told in John 9, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. And these words speak his parents, because they were afraid of the Jews, that would have been put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. They called again the blind man. They said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And they answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. The light that Christ gives is an all-illuminating light. There are many times in life when we have questions, when we wonder at things, but the answer is found in Christ. The light that he gives through his word teaches and instructs us in the way. The light that he gives us is pure and true, guiding us for all eternity. Yes, when we get to know the Lord through the I Ams, we get to know more about him. We're led on a path. And I think in conclusion, just one final I Am to consider. In John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and the stranger will they not follow, but will flee, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The sheepfold of Old Testament Israel was a walled structure. It was a place of safety and security. The top of the walls would have been hedged over with briars and brambles to stop anyone from gaining entrance that shouldn't be there. This is why Christ describes those who would climb in as thieves and robbers. There was a way in. There was one legitimate entrance into the sheepfold. So those who would not take that way were imposters. They were there for no good, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus is saying here, the clear teaching is, if you want to enter in, if you want to go to that place of safety, you have to go through me. In John 10 verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Yes, he is the door to the sheepfold, but he is the door to life itself. He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The warning here given is clear. If you stay outside the door or try to find another way, you will miss the life that Christ offers. You will miss the kingdom of heaven. You will miss the Father's house. Oh, what provision the Lord has made for us. What blessings the Lord has given to each and every one of us that we might avail of them. Brethren, today, we are those who are walled in at the sheepfold. We are those who have came to the door. We are those who have sought admittance. We are those who have been granted entrance into the place of safety. Oh, today that you would take a moment to consider the price that was paid, to consider the safety and the security that is yours and for your soul that is found in the work that Jesus Christ accomplished. Yes, we have came to that door in all of our need, in all of our sin, and he has opened unto us. He has brought us in, and his banner over us is love. So today, may we know Christ more. May we be conscious that what he has done for us, and may we give God the thanks and the glory. I am the bread of life. Oh, that we might feast today at his table, that our souls might be blessed today in his word. Let us each one afresh bow our heads, give thanks to God, and glorify him in our lives. Amen. We'll just close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee that afresh we have looked to thy word. And O Father, we pray that thy word would have free course and be glorified. Lord, that would accomplish that whereunto thou hast sent it. Forgive, O God, the weakness of man and its presentation. But, O God, by the power of your Spirit, bless it to the hearts of thy children. And, Lord, if there is one listening in today who is yet outside the fold of Christ, has not came to the true and living way, O God, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine upon their souls, that their eyes might be open to see, their ears might be open to hear, their heart might be open to understand that Jesus Christ can cleanse them, forgive them of sin, make them fit for heaven. So, O Father, bless us each one as we seek to walk in thy ways. Bless thy word to our hearts. Part us, O God, each one with the fear and favour of God upon our lives. Bless the services that will be before us today in thy house. O God, grant thy servant might know power from on high. May the Spirit descend like a dove. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.